You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
We believe and confess the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the key to everything in the church, and it is also the key to the salvation of the world.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give your gospel to the world in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us all to trust in Christ and to know you as a loving Father. Help us to understand one another in the light of your forgiveness and in the enjoyment of the life you give through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. This coming Wednesday, June 25, will be the 450th anniversary of the Augsburg Confession. It marks a great moment in history, June 25, 1530, recognized as a great moment in history by an increasing number of people all the time. A little over a year ago, I stood on the street in Torgau in East Germany, where the house is still standing that was used by John the Steadfast, Elector of Saxony, Martin Luther, Philip Melanchthon, Agricola, and a few others, for their meetings prior to the Diet of the Holy Roman Empire called by Emperor Charles V in Augsburg. It was a crucial moment for a lot of people. In the case of some of them, their lives were at stake. In the case of others, their lands were at stake. For themselves and for others, they said, "We believe and confess." No one knew what was going to happen. In Torgau, on the street which leads up to the castle of the Elector of Saxony, across a deep moat, stand the buildings which are still used as the town hall of Torgau to this day. The chapel has been restored that Martin Luther himself dedicated a year or so before his death. Here the Torgau Articles were drawn up by professors of the University of Wittenberg and by the Elector of Saxony, who was the protector of the University of Wittenberg. As it happened, and as it so often happened in those days, the character of the Diet changed before it finally was held, and the Torgau Articles were revised in order to meet the purpose of the Diet. They became what is known all over the world today as the Augsburg Confession, or in its Latin title, the Confessio Augustana. Radio and TV would have had a field day at that Diet of Augsburg. Conflict and confusion were rampant. Controversy was all over the place. A great European battle over articles of faith was coming to a head in a circus-type environment. Some of the people were very committed, and others were very corrupt. Sometimes it's hard to tell which was which. Charles V, Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, had a problem. He needed a united front in his military operations to fight off the powerful Turks. A united front against that danger demanded an end to the religious controversies which were going on in this Reformation period. If the Protestants and Catholics could get together, he thought, he could better defend his empire. That purpose became evident as the Diet drew near. Charles V, who had banned Martin Luther at another Diet in Worms in 1521, 9 years earlier, now asked the followers of Luther to present a statement of their basic beliefs. Martin Luther himself did not go to Augsburg because he was still under the ban of the empire and still under the protection of the Elector of Saxony, now John the Steadfast, succeeding his brother Frederick the Wise. The 7 electors of the Holy Roman Empire were powerful figures, each one having one vote in the election of any new emperor. Frederick the Wise had protected the life of Martin Luther, and his successor, his brother, John the Steadfast, was espousing the cause. The statement of the Lutherans, submitted at Augsburg, has always been called the Augsburg Confession. It is straightforward in its statement of belief, and it is not contentious in spirit. The purpose of the Augsburg Confession, stated explicitly in the introduction of the confession, is to have all of us, including Protestants and Roman Catholics, embrace and adhere to a single true religion and live together in unity and in the one fellowship of the Church. The Augsburg Confession was the first and foremost of the Lutheran confessions. It was preceded, of course, by Luther's small catechism the year before. It is almost impossible to estimate the influence which these two documents have had upon the history of the Christian Church. It is safe to say that next to the Bible itself, they will probably have increasing influence in the years to come. Recently, Pope John Paul II called attention to this anniversary of the Augsburg Confession. He referred respectfully to its importance in the life of the Church today. The Augsburg Confession is a statement of the holy, Catholic, or universal faith of which the Nicene Creed speaks and calls it one holy, Catholic, and apostolic faith. There is only one faith. There is only one gospel, the gospel of Christ, the one to which St. Paul referred in the 4th chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, one body and one spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The first articles of the Augsburg Confession are comparatively short. They talk about vital doctrines of the faith, which were not in particular dispute between Roman Catholics and Protestants at the time. These articles have titles like of God, of Christ, and of the Church. All of these articles state simply, we believe and confess. The article on the Church, Article 7, states simply, our churches teach that the one holy Church is to continue forever. The Church is the assembly of saints in which the gospel is taught purely and the sacraments are administered rightly. For the true unity of the Church, it is enough to agree concerning the teaching of the gospel. We believe and confess, they said, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the key to everything in the Church, and it is also the key to the salvation of the world. Martin Luther came out for the gospel. He had no intention of splitting the Church or causing difficulty in the empire. In many ways, he was the most peaceful man around. However, he was not going to hold still when people added to or subtracted from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther did not hesitate to say that some of his opponents did not understand the gospel. He did not claim to have any special understanding of the gospel himself, other than the one that is found in the Holy Scriptures. It is the same understanding which St. Paul had. He said that he was standing fast, not in his own righteousness, which is of the law, but rather in the righteousness which is of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. In Martin Luther's day, that sounded kind of revolutionary to a lot of people. They had been taught that you have to do a lot of things yourself in order to be saved. You have to go through a rigmarole of ritual, including penances, indulgences, some of which were actually sold for money at the time, and all kinds of things to show how good a Christian you are. Martin Luther simply said about all of that, it is not apostolic and it is not scriptural. You can do some of this if you want to, but it is not required by God. You can refuse to eat meat on Friday, but that is not required by God. Only the Scriptures tell us what is required by God, and everything else you can decide on the basis of good Christian conscience and good sense. The gospel, said Martin Luther, is the heart of everything. It is the good news that Jesus Christ died upon his cross to forgive our sins. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. And he died to give us the power to overcome the force of sin in our lives. The good news is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He offers life now and forever to all who believe in him. This is the good news, the Augsburg Confession says. And it is central to the unity of the church. It is good to see that the witness of Martin Luther is beginning to take hold in a lot of places today, 450 years after the Augsburg Confession was delivered in an atmosphere of political and ecclesiastical recrimination. It was just too bad that it was not taken that seriously at the time. Cardinal Cushing said one time to a meeting of Lutheran laymen, "If we had had good Pope John at the time of Martin Luther, we might have had a Reformation too instead of a revolution." Whether or not this historical judgment is true, I leave to your judgment. It does, however, put the problem into a kind of perspective. News reporters often ask me questions which give me the definite impression that they think the church today is going down the tubes. Since reporters think often in terms of controversy, they're always asking about liberals and conservatives. They have to put people into pigeonholes in order to understand them. The Church of God has never been dependent upon either liberals or conservatives. It is the Church of God, as the Augsburg Confession says, one holy church, and it will continue forever. This continuance does not depend upon me or you. We are important to God, but he will find a people for himself no matter what. His gospel will be told, and there will always be people who will be made bold by the Holy Spirit to believe the gospel. God's word does not return to him void. The good news of Christ, the word of God, has an unearthly power that people find hard to understand. St. Paul would not believe it until he had found it out for himself. The good news of Jesus Christ made Saul into St. Paul, and that's a miracle in itself. It's the way the church began, and it is the way the church has continued down through the ages. St. Paul put it this way: the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That includes all kinds of people, Jew and Gentile, black and white, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, men and women, boys and girls. Newspaper reporters write about the church all the time, but many of them have no idea what the church is all about. Let's not point a finger at them. A lot of Christians do not know what the church is all about. The Augsburg Confession puts the whole thing quite simply and clearly. The church is the assembly of saints, sinners who have been declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus Christ. As God has dealt with them in the gospel, purely taught, and the sacraments rightly administered. The church is not just one congregation. It is congregations everywhere. It is not just one denomination, but the assembly of the people of God everywhere. The church is God's baby. The Scriptures and the Augsburg Confession say exactly what Christ himself said. The church will be and remain forever. Nobody can kill the church. It can't be junked like a broken down car. Russians have found that out, and so is everybody else finding it out. The gates of hell will not be able to withstand the onslaught of Christ's church. The church is not a building or church council or Sunday school or people working in church kitchens. It is found only among people who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Two women were giving blood at a Red Cross donation center. As each was giving her pint, they started conversing with each other. They discovered that they were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were born-again Christians, only because each belonged to Jesus Christ. They had a lively chat about the church. It wasn't about their preachers or the nice people or the beautiful services where they worshiped. It was about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They shared their faith. They talked about how Christ had forgiven them and had given them life. These two women are the church in action. That's the way its work is done. St. Paul says there's one body and one spirit, just as you also were called, and one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is something to be joyful about. There are many forms of worship. There are many days that are honored by Christians. None of them has been imposed upon anyone by God. That's what the Augsburg Confession says. That conclusion comes directly from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Scriptures say that outright. And the Augsburg Confession states it courageously. Many different forms of worship are pleasing to God. There are ways people have and use and enjoy in worshiping God. These forms were meant to be used and enjoyed. Why argue about them when God himself has not dictated the form of worship that is pleasing to him? When you cut through the whole business, the theology, the ceremonies, the institutions, and all the trappings of the Christian faith, you come finally to the heart of the matter, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ. You tell people about Christ, and you share with them the Word of God. When you share the good news about God's forgiveness through His grace, out of the goodness of His heart in Jesus Christ, you tell them the one thing they absolutely need to know in order to live. I'm not here talking about religion, but about faith and about life. That's what Jesus Christ was always talking about. And it is what his apostles were always talking about. They wanted people to believe in Christ and be saved. So do I. There are many misconceptions and much misinformation about what we believe. I must admit the possibility that I myself have had misconceptions and have been influenced by misinformation about what other people believe. Human beings often talk past each other. Being human, sometimes we are content with half-truths instead of with the whole truth. I recommend the Augsburg Confession as a great document to read in order to recapture the true spirit of the Christian faith, stating convictions with clarity and all the while seeking peace and pursuing it. Convictions do not cause our problem. People full of real conviction have respect for people who have differing convictions. They are willing to talk and to listen. There's no danger in that when the Spirit of God is leading people into all truth. It is one of His ways to lead into all truth, through talk and through listening of the Word of God. The Spirit of God spoke in times past to the church through the Holy Scriptures, the witness of the apostles to God's Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Scripture is the witness of God's prophets to His grace, and the witness of Christ's apostles to His atonement and salvation. Through faith in God and in Jesus Christ whom He has sent, people are saved. It is the good news that has this great power. There's no power in the church except the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ is the one body, and His Spirit is the one Spirit. There's only one hope of calling, and that is the calling of God in Christ Jesus through the power of His Spirit. There's only one Lord, even Jesus Christ. There's only one faith, faith in Christ. There's only one baptism, the baptism in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only one gospel, the good news of God in Christ. There's only one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It is amazing that a document like the Augsburg Confession, delivered 450 years ago before a diet of the Holy Roman Empire, should be remembered today. It is being remembered not just as a historical fact, but as a present and positive influence for good, because it is altogether wrapped up in that one Lord, Jesus Christ, in that one faith of Jesus Christ, in that one baptism delivered to the world by the one Lord in the one faith, by the one Lord who claims people through that one faith in the power of his one Spirit. It is as the confessors said at Augsburg, laymen and pastors, but most of them laymen. This is what we believe and confess. It is what we believe and confess today. Amen.